You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Steeter.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated?
It is Monday, March 31st, 2014. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the three-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City 10 years ago to the day, ladies and gentlemen. The Majority Report was formally launched on the late Air America Radio, I should say. Joining us today in somber remembrance of that day is Janine Garofalo, the host of the original Majority Report.
Hey, y'all.
Coming out of her long self-imposed exile in the southern states of the United States. Also on the program today, Chris Christie. Bows down and kisses the ring in Vegas.
He cannot bow. He can't bend at the waist.
Come on now. Oh, come on.
I'm not a sizist, and I don't like that kind of talk. But he deserves it.
But literally, he can't bend down.
But
I'm just saying,
factually, he cannot bend to kiss the ring.
There are mechanics here.
He cannot.
He asks for the ring to be lifted.
Exactly. Well, okay, that's different.
Also, and then on the program today, the IPCC comes out with another devastating, yet sort of well-spoken and conservative, slowest common denominator report on the climate disaster that is facing everyone. Meanwhile, final day to sign up for Obamacare and the open enrollment, huge surge of new people who are getting health insurance. We'll get to that GMO story. The New York State budget is almost signed. And Governor Cuomo comes out and says that we are here to protect the charter movement.
Because he made a bunch of money from
Don't be that way.
From that, what is it, Success Academy?
Yeah, indeed. And affluenza strikes a horrible, horrible story of a DuPont heir who was convicted of child rape, yet it would be just too hard to send him to prison. That and more on today's program. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome to the show someone who needs no introduction. But nevertheless, I'm going to give one at least a mildly, maybe not a straight-on introduction, but a comment, Janine. Welcome, Janine Garofalo.
Thank you, Samuel Steeter, and happy birthday to Saul. That happened a couple weeks ago.
Thank you. I got the text from you on the day.
That was
very sweet. I want to read.
Texts are much more intimate. It's much more personal to just text.
Oh, definitely. And Saul is still trying to read it.
Well, one day your baby can read, you know. Your baby can read as long as he goes to a charter school.
I want to read this email that I got in anticipation of your visit to the program. Because, you know, when we go back to 2004, when we launched this show, just up the road here in New York City.
Up the road of peace.
Up the road of peace in a studio that was
near Opus Dei's headquarters.
That's right. It was nearly across the street from the Opus Dei. It was in a studio that was nearly well as equipped as this one. I would say,
there was more space. There was more space. It was tidier.
It was tidier. This is we've almost come full circle here, at least with our tech abilities. And I want to read this from listener Jesse, who has been a longtime listener of this program. I wanted to drop you a note to thank you. This is to you, Janine.
Oh.
You are widely known as someone who does not use email.
That's true, because I do not use a computer box.
There you go. I wanted to drop you a note to thank you for using your public platform to resist the Iraq war. You are an excellent advocate on behalf of tens of millions of war skeptics around the world, including me. Despite the doubts I had, my beliefs for a few days after Tony Blair came on board, that whole fiasco smelled like low tide from the start. If it wasn't bad enough, what happened to you, Phil Donahue, the Dixie Chicks, was so egregious and unforgivably shameful. So I want to express my gratitude because I know what it's like being on the pointy end of the spear. Although I was already a retired Navy commander by 2003, we are aware that it's people like you that truly support the troops who frankly don't want to be cannon fodder just so consumers can save 10 cents a gallon at the pump or Halliburton shareholders can cash in. The fact that your activism did not achieve the desired result in no way diminishes the courage it took in that hysterical atmosphere. In fact, I watch your Fox and Friends appearance a few weeks before the invasion at least once a year whenever I'm looking for inspiration.
Oh, my gosh.
Well done, Garofalo. You are a hero of ours, and you will always occupy a special place in our hearts. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's so nice.
Janine Garofalo.
Can I have that? That is so unbelievably kind and nice. I really appreciate that, Jesse. That is so nice.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of people applying. That really is a very nice letter.
And I have to say that
means a
is,
lot to me.
That is just one of many I have gotten over the years saying whatever. IM comments or emails. Those were heady days back in 2004.
That was from 2001 to about 2008, I would prefer never to revisit. It was such a terrible time. In the nationally and
yes.
Internationally, the atmosphere, as Jesse was saying, the hysterical and not funny hysterical, but
right.
hysterical atmosphere. And I think it's easy to forget for a lot of people. And also they, 11-year anniversary of the invasion just happened, I guess, last week or the
yep.
week before. And nary a, you know what I mean? Nary
right.
a comment, From those that were so aggressive about pushing for it, and those that had such bloodlust, no thoughts whatsoever about the people still suffering and who will continue to suffer from what happened. And there's still people who mock me for it to this day, which
it
hurts
on
a lot of levels. It hurts on a lot of levels, but it hurts more so because of how wrong they still are. You know what I mean? Not wrong about mocking me. You could mock me for many reasons, but that's not one of them. The Iraq thing. There are many things about me you could take issue with, for sure. But that's not one of them. But still, it reverberates for a lot of people who stood against. There were a lot of people who stood against
yep.
the Iraq invasion and other things by the Bush administration, who were constantly made fun of and who still get made fun of for that. But this is a really nice letter, and I really appreciate it. And I hope never to revisit the early aughts. Not only did I grow old during that time, because it really happens in that 10-year span when you are in your late 30s. Like to
tell me
about
it.
You really
yes.
just get old. And then adding to that such a terrible atmosphere in
yeah.
the country. And then, career-wise, things going a little bit sideways, all three things in tandem. At least if I was getting younger, if it was going in reverse.
Right.
If I could have at least Benjamin Buttoned back towards youth, there would be one thing I could salvage out of that and say, well, that was a terrible time, but I'm now 10 years younger. But unfortunately,
yes.
I'm now 10 years older.
Yes, I know the feeling well, indeed. I mean,
broke another tooth recently eating a granola bar. I mean, come on.
What kind of granola bar?
Oh, there's always
eating?
There's always a rogue almond in there that that cracks a crown that I have from eating granola once before, and I broke a tooth, and then I have rebroken it eating deceptive granola.
It's the teeth. I remember like 2 or 3 years ago, I had a major tooth problem like that I think broke, and there's nothing, for some reason, it's the breaking of the teeth that really gets you.
It's depressing. It's depressing. Really depressing. It really brings it home, doesn't it? Oh. When your teeth break, you feel like a real schmuck.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's right. And you also turned into like an aging sort of a Jewish lady.
Well, lots of people think I'm Jewish and gay, as you know. I've mentioned that before. A lot of people think I'm Jewish and gay, to which I say thank you. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world to be accused of, being Jewish and gay, as opposed to an atheist who is sexually repressed. It's fine. I'll take it. So I always feel odd denying it, because it seems like when people say, I thought you were Jewish,
well,
or I thought you were gay.
Well, it's just basically a statement of fact. I mean, it's like saying, you know.
Right, but it feels wrong to deny
it. You're so tall, Janine.
Which I actually am not. I'm not tall. That one doesn't feel as bad denying, because anyone could see that I'm 5'1". But it isn't obvious that I'm not Jewish and gay. I wouldn't say it's really obvious.
It's not screaming obvious.
It could be, you know, it could
Garofalo
be
many things.
Garofalo should be, but it's your mother who makes you Jewish. They could think that.
Well, in Reform, also, you have patrilineal.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Gosh, you guys are making strides all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We certainly
are. We're
bold
innovators.
Yeah.
So, now, I mean, I guess as we get into the funner half of the program, maybe we can talk more about those days when we launched and maybe throw around a couple of stories. But let's talk a little bit about what's in the news or even the culture.
Because
you know me, I have such a narrow perspective, and that was.
Well, we
always
can talk about Walking Dead season finale last night, which was a bit disappointing. I thought.
What?
Well, I liked it, but here's a couple of things. I just want to get it off my chest.
Okay. All right.
And spoiler alert: Brutus killed Caesar. Brutus killed Caesar.
Right.
I say
Let's
that every
do
time
too,
for
okay.
my spoiler alert. People, and then sometimes people go, "What?" Brutus and Cassius, I want to make clear, have nothing to do with the Walking Dead.
Why did you need to say that?
I'm telling you that Brutus and Cassius were in no way involved in last night's Cicero tangentially at Terminus.
It was
Terminus. Those who arrive. I think they're eating people in Terminus. That's
sure.
Yeah, you don't pass a boneyard and have meat on the grill.
Did you see the episode?
How many times can you put meat
obvious.
On a grill? You know what I mean? And they're always grilling up meats at Terminus.
Yeah.
And then they pass, when Rick and those guys are running towards the train car, a boneyard. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what bothered me about last night's episode, just a couple things, because I like the show very much, is Rick's rewriting history, remembering the prison. He was never that happy at the prison. He was already starting to lose it, and he was having visions of his ex-wife.
Well,
his late wife.
I think he was looking at it as like, wow, I really should have had a better time at the prison.
I hope that's what he was doing.
That's how I was taking it.
Because he was definitely not like that. And then also, as soon as Herschel said, boy, I don't know what time it is ever since I gave Glenn my watch, I was like, that watch will be important later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like that kind of thing. And also, Baby Juth was not that big back at the prison. Because they were filming, those weren't actual flashbacks.
Yeah, they went back to the prison to film those. Those
right.
weren't like shots they
Judith
took from.
Judith was, as you may recall, totally silent and very small at that time, and now she's
like
more
baby.
Of like a little baby.
Well, but you know, it's recollection, and I have to say that I can only imagine Saul now, the size he is. I don't even remember him as a baby, and that was only like...
Okay, we can give Rick the benefit of the doubt.
8-9 months ago.
And then I also felt that the scene with those guys that were traveling with Fallout Boy, with the guy with the bow, Norman Reedus.
The Claimers.
He of the hair.
The Claimers.
The Claimers were excessively out of control, violent, especially where Carl was concerned, the little boy.
Oh, they needed that was
right, wait.
It was. I felt like that was overdone. Their beef was with Rick. I feel like even though they were a bad bunch of guys, there's no need to harass a child.
They had a code,
and it seemed like that guy was going to sexually assault.
Oh, that's totally what he was going to do. Yes.
Why do we need to go there? Because I actually
bad people.
Them being bad can be established in many ways, but also if they were trying to justify what Rick did, I don't think they need to justify it. I think any parent would do what he did, biting into the flesh.
Oh, okay. Well, whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
We're getting very too spoiler here.
Jeanine, want to start a separate Walking Dead podcast?
You know what? If you can't watch TV when it's on, that is not my fault. I cannot live this way. I cannot. And you know what Man Bed's on? I'm going to talk about it. I am going to talk about it April 13th.
All right. Now, wait. Oh, no. Come on. It was a surprise.
What, when it was going to start? Spoiler alert. It's coming back on April 13th.
All right. Let's turn. We'll save some of this for the funner half. So that people.
Why do you keep saying funner?
Well, because
funner.
I'm trying to
more
I'm trying
fun.
To get, I'm trying
more grammatically. I think you should say more fun.
The more fun. Huh?
Oh no, I'm not arguing with fun. But why can't we? I didn't intend for the my
grammar,
criticism of Walking Dead to be the fun portion. It's just something I wanted to get off my
chest. All right, all right.
Get
well,
off of the chest portion.
The get off the chest.
Yeah, we'll get into the get off the chest.
Now, if anybody else has anything they would like to get off their chest, whether it be about girls looking.
You know what? We should be doing another podcast where you get to critique.
It's not about critiques because I embrace these shows and I'm not a fair weather fan.
It's critique. It's critique.
It's just.
I'll say real quick, TV wise, yes. I watched. I can't believe I'm completely forgetting the name of it. True Detective because of you.
True Detective.
Right, yeah.
So
we'll save that for the better half of the show.
Okay.
Right, let's get to this.
Why do you keep denying the fun,
Sam,
to the people listening right now? Why should they suffer?
If we give too much fun up front, then people won't.
What are you saying? There's a finite amount of fun.
Well, you know,
in my life,
there's an infinite horizon.
I don't want to exhaust it before the end of the week.
Usually, when we tease the fun half, Sam will say. In the fun half, a new CBO report scores the Republican Social Security.
Well, how about we say in the super fun half?
Right.
Right? Because a little fun might slip in.
I don't know. I've talked to marketing consultants about this.
But there might be some listeners who don't think any of this was fun yet. So who are we to judge?
Way to go, Sam. We were talking about The Walking Dead, and now we're all talking about the funner half of the show.
Which we could bring. You know, we can talk about Georgia politically because of the guns and bars and also the private probation companies in Georgia.
We will, but I want to first get to this ad.
Go ahead. Get the ad off your chest.
I want you to watch this ad because I know that it's going to enrage you. And then I want to show you the ad that is a response to this ad. And it's interesting because people have been asking me about this ad for a while, and I was saving it for you, if you must know, Jeanine.
Well, thank you.
And here it is. Here's the ad. You ready?
Yes.
Are we going with the Cadillac ad here?
Yeah, this is the Cadillac.
Got it.
Why do we work so hard? Why do we work so hard?
For what?
Wait, I'm playing it.
Oh, well, I had it. Okay.
Well, I'm showing it
to Jeanine.
I thought
the guy was just repeating himself.
All right, you ready? Here we go.
I'm ready.
Why do we work so hard? For what? For this? For stuff? Other countries, they work, they stroll home, they stop by the cafe, they take August off. Off. Why aren't you like that? Why aren't we like that? Because we're crazy, driven, hard-working believers, that's why. Those other countries think we're nuts. Whatever. Were the Wright brothers insane? Bill Gates, Les Paul, Ali. Were we nuts when we pointed to the moon? That's right. We went up there. You know what we got? Bored. So we left.
Oh, my
gosh. Got a car up there, left the keys in it. Do you know why? Because we're the only ones going back up there. That's why.
Oh, my gosh.
But I digress. It's pretty simple. You work hard, you create your own luck, and you gotta believe anything is possible. As for all the stuff, that's the upside of only taking 2 weeks off in August. Nespa?
I think next time I see that guy, because I have seen him around in Los Angeles, I will have to smack his face. And, you know, ordinarily, I have always been not only sexually attracted to that actor, but I thought he was a very good actor.
Who is it?
He's an actor who appears in things. I mean, I don't know who he is. I have seen him in Los Angeles. And if I rarely go to Los Angeles anymore, but if I do, or if I see him around New York, I'm going to have to say, what was going on with that Cadillac?
I think he'll tell you right off the bat. Cha-ching.
No, I understand that. But is he also a right winger, or was he just a mercenary?
Maybe he would say, I actually wanted to take the entire month of August off.
So yeah, exactly.
There are so many problems with that. With the dialogue in there, and that is so ridiculous. And that
the actor is
macho
Neil McDonough.
I now take my sexual attraction back. Take it back. And this is going to go retroactive a few years back because I've noticed him on things for a few years and said, you know, that kind of a Irishy firefighter quality that he has appeals to me. I'm
yeah,
not made
he really
of
has a big puffed up chest. I like the part where he says, you know, about the different countries. whatever. Yeah. He's nice.
And you know what? All the different – he's talking about maybe a couple. I think France is one of them. And
well, yeah, some Western European countries. And
they take August off, but not everybody. But to imply – and also nobody else went to the moon. And Russia – there was certainly no Russian space race or anything like that, was there? And when are we going back up? When's that going to happen? Remember George Bush pretended we were in one of his State of the Union?
Mars, I think he was saying.
Yeah, just to get us feeling Kennedy-esque.
Going to Mars.
I like how he also talks about how only America produced
Mars
Muhammad Ali.
Guitars.
And doesn't sort of mention about all that stuff about Muhammad Ali refusing to go to war.
Right.
And
well, there were subtexts like, don't get me wrong, he was uppity. Nonetheless,
I know. Right,
exactly.
Unforgivable blackness.
I don't take August off because I'm too busy defrauding pension funds.
He's a Republican who got fired from the ABC series Scoundrels because he refused to do a sex scene because of his faith.
Well, all right. Well, there you go.
Actually, there had to be more to it than that because if they liked him as an actor or whatever, they would certainly worked around it, used a body double. There was probably many things about his personality, which is obvious now from this commercial.
I love
that
the
would make, that would make you want to
now the
say
message
goodbye
of this ad, you know, with the particularly with the create your own luck thing, which I think is sort of is wonderful. Of course,
that's just letting yourself off the hook. The positive, well, create your own luck.
It's also
yourself
just
off
sort of saying, like, you know. My zip code that I got born into, the fact that I am white, and I got no other advantages over anybody, anywhere. This is basically saying to the audience, hey, this is a time where people are taking issue with the 1%, mm-hmm. and you should just know you have every right to be an a-hole and to assume that it was all you who did it. You are responsible for everything you have. Don't let anybody tell you anything else. This is basically...
It's not new. That old chestnut is not new, but it's been used in more ads lately. You know what I mean? Like the Dunkin' Donuts, like theirs, and different car commercials try and use this kind of macho... white entitlement, American exceptionalism. It's just easy nonsense for people who don't want to think and don't want to care about other people. But does it sell more cars? I doubt it.
Well, yeah, I imagine on some level it just says that, like, don't be ashamed to drive that caddy.
Actually, there is no reason to be ashamed of whatever car you drive. Right. You know, whatever. That's fine. What you should be ashamed of is whoever wrote that copy.
I actually disagree. You should be ashamed. No, I'm just kidding. But I talked to some friends in advertising about this ad, and they've definitely been saying this ad for who that audience is perfect.
It's perfect.
I mean, it's disgustingly perfect. Mm-hmm. They're talking to a very specific demographic.
Well, it's very obvious who they're talking to.
It's very obvious, and they nailed it.
But the thing is they're talking to anyone.
It's Koch brothers and haiku. Basically.
Right, but it's also people who vote against their better interests and people who can't afford that car who respond to that nonsense.
Totally.
And here is a response from Ford, which I think, you know, does sort of show that, like, you know, on some level there is this 47%. You know, this is the first one was the Mitt Romney ad, right? Mm-hmm. And here is a response by Ford, which is actually it's sort of fascinating that you see the response here is really the cars are almost irrelevant in this entire thing. This is really just a worldview type of thing. And this one, that last ad, we should say, features a middle-aged white guy who doesn't speak to his kids as he enters.
No, he just, like, in a very Sorkin-esque way, flies through the house.
Right.
He does walk and talk to the house.
Who just really fast you, who Jeanine no longer finds attractive.
I know. I rescind my sexual attraction
the
to
other
that
thing
gentleman.
About that is that the quality of, like, the family, you know, I think his wife at one time hands him something. I can't remember what it is.
Is she a wife or an assistant? Everybody works for him.
That's exactly the attitude, right? The family is here. Just, this is my support staff. I just walk through. You guys, don't worry about it.
He just walks through speaking in the house, and people hand him things.
Here is a response. I mean, a direct response from Ford.
Why do I work so hard? For what? For this? For dirt? Other countries, they work. They stroll to the market and buy locally grown food. Locally. Why aren't we like that?
Well, more and more of us are like that because we're crazy entrepreneurs trying to make the world better.
Some people might think we're nuts. Whatever.
Me? I collect food scraps from restaurants, manure from zoos, manure. Do you know why?
To keep this stuff out of landfills and use it to make good, rich dirt. That's why.
Yeah, look, it's pretty simple. You work hard, you believe that anything is possible, and you try to make the world better. You try. As for helping the city grow good, green, healthy vegetables, that's the upside of giving a damn. N'est-ce pas?
I now am sexually attracted to her. And if I were to own a car, I actually would now. So that was one of the best responses and a fantastically well done. And what was the car? The other car company?
The Cadillac.
It was a Cadillac. Hopefully they are ashamed. Mm. I doubt it because people like that don't feel shame. But that was fantastic. I would indeed get a Ford.
There you go.
I'm actually already seeing the disgusting Cadillac response. You know, it's just like, hey, as long as I'm not giving money for welfare or compensation, that's okay.
I don't know
me.
If they are going to up it because then they'll get another response back. Also, these things, you know, I don't know, but I have a feeling that Ford is on the right, not only the right side of history here, but on the speaking to many
the
more
right
people.
Side of the demographic
right.
wars for sure.
They got it exactly right.
Are there ads like that? I mean, I know that obviously brands go after each other in advertising, but I don't think I've ever seen ads that were that like overtly political, at least in terms
and
of two brands going at each other.
It shouldn't be political. It shouldn't be political. It's life. I mean, it's social justice, but it's characterized sometimes as politics, but it isn't. She's right. She said it all when she said those who give a damn. You know what I mean? Like, it's about caring or not caring. And the Cadillac people, they don't want you. They don't care. They don't care.
It
and
is fascinating, though.
Proud
I don't.
To care.
I don't
they are
remember.
Very proud of it.
Yeah. I don't remember two ads that were designed so specifically to reach, to express. I think it is political. I mean, or social, whatever you want to say, cultural war, essentially. I mean, these are two sides of the modern day culture war on some level that I think is you know brewing in the country.
I think Bob Odenkirk and David Cross did a great job of doing that. And Mr. Show, they had dueling ads for like a mom and pop supermarket and a big corporate one that would kept going back and forth at each other. And then eventually the mom and pop one was just decimated. And they also had great like political ads. But if what was the name of the – was it Fairsley Supermarket or something? But they did a similar thing which spoke to what was going on in the culture. And Brian Posehn's in it, and it's if you can find it on Mr. Show. I wish I knew the name of the fake supermarket they were doing. But do you remember when they did the campaign ads too? When
vaguely.
It was Bob Odenkirk and David, and they both were like exactly the same candidate who both grew up rich, and they was like, I got this award, and like all that kind of stuff, and then a priest gets involved to say stop this political fighting and start caring about the people. And then they both started attacking the priest with attack ads by showing footage of Nazi Germany. And it was really good. I wish I had more specifics for you, but just watching Mr. Show in general is always a good idea.
Well, now you brought in today, speaking of the culture war, which is there's sort of a – I don't know if this falls necessarily on that in that sort of those lines that we just saw in that those ads, but you brought in like a survival food. Where are you getting that magazine?
Well, actually, this was in The Nation, which is
really?
The best part of it. I was reading The Nation, and then this was in there because you know they'll take their money, you know, for an advertisement,
sure.
But it's like an onion thing. It seems like it's fake, but it's for survival foods. It shows a white family with guns. And really the subtext is there's a black president, so you need to start hoarding. And it says here, it says, Dear reader, there are some people out there who think folks like you and me are a bit odd. They think having a stockpile ready for a disaster is something they can put off someday or never. But those people are just hiding their heads in the sand. They are dead wrong and you are dead right. And this is you got to be ready. Make darn sure you and your family don't get herded into a FEMA camp. And then it's about survival foods and things. And if you go to, it's Food for Patriots is the thing. Food, numeral 4, Patriots, and their website is getfoodnumber5.com. And at the end of the ad, it says, P.S., got a call from Frank. That's this guy's buddy. The guy's
right
there.
Oh, right, Frank.
Got a call from Frank, and you'll never believe this. FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security just tried to buy up his entire supply of food. Can you believe that, B.S.? No, because it's not true. It's not true. That's why it's written that way. But it's just for patriots. And then if you go to the website, which I had Pete do, because as you know, I don't use a computer box.
Let me ask one thing. Let's just see. One can only imagine how they got that PS into the ad, because it would have have to have been like
after this was going to press.
Oh, hello, Nation. Okay, you going ahead with the ad? Great. Good news. Oh, ring, ring. Hold on for 1 second. Frank?
P.S.
What? Hold on for 1 second. Let me get that into the ad. Nation, you've got to put this into the ad.
Well, it also says, I decided to stop worrying. Obviously, waiting for FEMA to give me a handout is a disaster in itself. And it just says, so I got in touch with my buddy Frank. Here we go again. Got in touch with his buddy Frank again.
Frank.
And put in my order for his food for Patriots. This is Frank's new line of survival foods, and there are four reasons why it's literally flying off the shelves. Literally. I don't know if he knows what literally means, but according to him, this food is literally, I don't know what shelves, but since you can only get it through his buddy Frank.
Is the food all bird-based? I mean, maybe it is flying
I don't
off
know,
the shelves.
But there's no fancy packaging. Oh, well, not like those East Coast elites like.
That's one of the selling points.
Right. And this food has a shelf life of 25 years, which you're going to need, according to him. And it tastes good or better than any other survival food he's ever, all caps, had. And it says here, don't get gross survival food. Right. Don't get gross survival food that could get yourself sick.
You don't want to be in a post-apocalyptic situation and eating gross survival
food. I know.
Food. Look you want to eat nice survival
Look how
food.
Nice this survival food is after the apocalypse. All you need to do is have clean water to fix it. And then they also give you over 5,000 seeds so you can start growing things in uncontaminated soil outside where people will see you. I don't know how this is going to work. I guess
indoor hydroponic growing, I think, for
I
the
guess.
Bunker. What's this ad? Now, is this video worth playing?
Yeah, I think there's...
Should I try it?
Well, they're also on the website that Pete showed me. It says, don't tell everybody about this. If you talk about this, we know where, you know, we track you on our computer.
We only want the Nation that. Subscriber base to
yeah,
know about this.
Yeah, we only want the subscriber. Listen, you don't want his buddy Frank getting all up in your grill.
All right, let's hear this ad. I'm going to play it here. I don't know what it... I haven't watched it, but...
ISIS is coming. What's going to happen when disaster strikes? Are you prepared to feed your family? I don't know about you.
There's the
I'm
nuclear.
Sure not counting on the government to help me.
Not with a black guy.
Be behind disappearing food stockpiles all over
Look
the country.
Look, it's disappearing.
Yeah.
And I've got the proof.
FEMA
hates this number one item to hoard. Then why'd they try and buy it?
If you're here to claim your personal survival food package, the stockpiler's dream with a guaranteed 25-year shelf life. The package is being given away as low as $1.39 per serving, and it's being called by some folks the number one item to hoard. My suggestion is to act fast. Something just happened that has explained why survival food is literally flying off the shelves and is sold out in many areas of the country.
What just happened?
It caught me totally by surprise.
What?
And it involves FEMA.
What?
Let me introduce myself.
Oh, here it comes.
My name is Frank Bates.
Hey, that's his buddy.
And I live in a small town outside of Nashville, Tennessee, with my wife and two kids.
Lucky, lucky lady.
A couple of years ago, I was just an ordinary guy who'd been laid off in the recession and was struggling to make ends meet.
Uh-oh.
And ever since then, I have been on a mission to call BS on some of the crazy stuff being done by big government. And to show folks like you the little-known secrets I've discovered to be more self-reliant, more independent, and ready for anything.
I hope this is going to be an ad for how you can sell really crappy dried food.
No,
people.
He said it's not gross.
Oh,
it's not gross.
You can't do
In fact, I have no doubt that FEMA hates this video. I don't know how long it'll be
it.
Online, so watch it while you can. I'll explain more in a second, and
this
I'll show you
important.
Some shocking proof.
What?
But the bottom line that you need to understand is that FEMA wants survival food real, real, real bad. They are literally hoarding it. It's the number one item on their shopping list, and that explains why supplies are so low or completely sold out.
Aren't they supposed to help people and feed them? Isn't that what FEMA's supposed to do? So don't wait for FEMA to give you the food that they are hoarding for you.
They're just hoarding the food.
Food for you.
For the sake of hoarding the food or maybe to give it out.
We know that FEMA's Nation of Islam shock troops are planning a mass Islam conversion.
Well, look at FEMA's list.
In order for you to get the food stockpiles.
Look, food, other. What is other? What is number six? What is other? Act fast. Listen to me. Don't wait for them to give you the food that they are getting because that's part of what they do. Don't let them have it. And then don't wait for him to give it to you. Right? That's how it works. Now, they hate this video. Right? Because this guy's really important. He's on their radar. And according to his buddy Frank, FEMA tried to buy all of his food. Can you believe that BS?
I wonder if that's what the F is for.
FEMA.
Frank.
Frank
entering
eats
many.
No.
Amphitheater.
Frank. Frank entails
many stores across America.
Aggravations.
But don't worry, I'm going to keep our food out of FEMA's hands.
Of course, because...
In fact, watch this short video, Frank. And I'll show you how you can get...
I can't watch any more of this video. Do you want me to? Or?
No, look, you don't have to, but...
It's all fun and games for you, but we actually need to shut this down.
I know. Does anybody know Frank?
Look,
somebody get Frank,
I don't know where Frank
phone.
Comes from, but I'm disturbed by his level of sophistication relative to the information levels available to him on the
I'll tell you,
plan.
You got to be worried about this guy because I'm looking at this video. I don't even see like a YouTube symbol anywhere. How does he do this? How does he embed the video like this without the YouTube signature? All right, well, let's move on from this. We just got to...
if you go to getfood5.com, you can... learn more about it and Food for Patriots. But also, don't forget, he does threaten that if you talk about this with other people, and they know where you live.
And to be fair, we should just say that, Janine, you're getting, you, as a paid spokesperson, you get about 8 to 10.
I do. I do have enough of Frank's, my butt of Frank's food, to last for 25 years at least. And also, I have 5,400 heirloom seeds.
And it does not taste gross.
And it comes in non-fancy packaging, and it's very covert. It says the packaging is covert.
All right. We will talk about your buddy Cuomo in a bit.
But, Andy.
But
Andy
first,
C.
First, I want to talk about Chris Christie, apparently. Apparently, there was a couple of Republican presidential hopefuls, Jeb, Bush, Scott Walker, who else went down there? I think it was, obviously Christie.
John Kasich.
Went down to the Venetian Hotel, owned by Sheldon Adelson.
That's nice.
You should also know that the Venetian just changed their rules on blackjack. And,
I thought you
were going to
say black people.
I think those have been longstanding.
Unless you're performer. Yeah, please leave.
Backdoor.
The odds are much worse for blackjack players there, but that's put that aside for a moment. They were speaking to a Republican Jewish coalition.
Eggshells.
Republican Jewish coalition. Chris Christie was giving a speech to these people.
Did he say something like occupy? Did he use a code? Did he say something?
This is
occupied?
The problem. He said, I took a helicopter ride, talking about his family trip to Israel in 2012. I took a helicopter ride from the occupied territories across and just personally how
Frank.
Extraordinary that was to understand the military risk that Israel faces every day. Now, let's just take this statement. I saw the incredible suffering that was taking place by these people who are being occupied by a military power. And my first reaction was to feel incredible sympathy for that military power and just how precarious it was for them.
Doesn't he know he's not supposed to say occupied?
Well, that turned out to be a big problem that he said the word occupied. Apparently, there were murmurs amongst the...
Rhubarb, carrots and peas, peas and carrots, rhubarb, carrots and peas,
watermelon. And then Christie had to go up into a private suite in the Venetian Hotel and apologize to Sheldon L. Adelson. A source told Politico that Christie clarified in the strongest terms possible that his remarks today were not meant to be a statement of policy. He made clear that he misspoke when he referred to the occupied territories, and he conveyed that he is an unwavering friend and committed supporter of Israel. He was sorry for any confusion that came across as a result of the misstatement. We actually have the audio from this conversation that took place between...
In the Hiram Roth suite?
Yeah, that took place between Sheldon Adelson and Chris Christie. Let's roll that audio now.
Oh!
What have I done to make you disrespect me in this way? All I've done is give you money, all-you-can-eat buffets, and all I've asked in return is that you ignore systemic racial oppression as well as my criminal activities. And yet you still disrespect me.
But Mr. Adelson, I'm smart! Not like everybody says. Are you going to finish that omelet?
I'm not dumb. I'm smart.
I'm smart. I'm not dumb.
I don't know. Will I finish that omelet?
What about the strawberry?
Will you continue to disrespect me this way?
I say a bunch of Hail Marys before I ask for a strawberry. Is that a bear claw? Is that a bear? I'm sorry. I'm not stupid. I'm smart. Not like everybody says.
When you fly over a traffic jam, do you see a traffic jam or an important piece of work that your administration's implementing?
Could you please just lift the ring a little higher so I can kiss it?
Bonus air. What have I done? Treat with this disrespect.
All right, well, that was the
audio. I didn't know you
audio.
Were going to do the... I'm sorry, yeah, I said the Hiram Roth suite.
That's we got that
Mike,
audio.
I'm not...
Breaking news.
I'm your older brother, Mike. Oh, poor Fredo.
I'm smart, and I demand respect.
That actor was so good. What was his name? The actor who played Fredo.
I can't remember. Very good.
Do you remember right after Adelson said, right after 2012, he gave this great interview, and he basically just came out and he's like, look, I support universal health care. I have no problem with gay people. I want stem cell research. I just would like to have the permanent occupation of the West Bank. And I would also prefer that my criminal activities not be investigated.
Is that too much to ask?
And in the coup de grace of irony, Newt Gingrich told the National Journal that following this Las Vegas sort of kiss the ring celebration of Sheldon Adelson, he said, whether it's the Koch brothers or George Soros on the left or Sheldon, Gingrich said, if you're going to have an election process that radically favors billionaires and is discriminating against the middle class, which we now have, then billionaires are going to get a lot of attention. The truth is we desperately need election reform. And what is his election reform? Which allows candidates to receive the same amount of money as super PACs. So in other words, just let Sheldon give the money directly to candidates.
And then you can pay your Tiffany's bill.
Gingrich was
one of the biggest benefactors of Sheldon Adelson money in the 2012 primary. In fact, it probably kept him in the race for a couple more, at least maybe 6 weeks, I think, and did big damage to Mitt Romney's chances, I think, in the long run.
He was right about Russia. What Mitt Romney said that thing about Russia back in the old, and he said he would use sanctions. So you see how very different he is from Barack Obama.
Yeah,
Mitt Romney's doing a victory lap because he said sanctions, which is exactly what's happening.
Yeah,
don't you
Mitt
understand
Romney's
that?
Sanctions would have been far more.
They would have been better because they would have come from that white guy.
Right.
They're white sanctions.
Well, I mean, I think
white
you've
Republican
ever seen...
We call it off-brand sanctions, Janine. We don't want to use that actual language directly.
What, white Republican sanctions?
All right, we're going to take a break.
Black sanctions.
And we're going to head into
sanctions.
The Blank more fun half. Super fun half.
Blah people sanctions.
Yeah. We will take your phone calls. You want to ask Janine a question, we'll take your IMs. Number 646-257-3920. Folks, one big difference between the majority report of days gone by when we launched was that that program was fake funded by a con man who claimed that he had a brain tumor and had actually not funded the Air America in any way. He had capitalized it not nearly as much as he had promised all of us. This program is not funded in that mechanism, although we keep writing letters to him, and I think he's in prison in Guam. And
they're making a movie out of it. Vince Vaughn's playing him.
No, you're joking.
For a second, you believed that.
I did believe it.
In what world would anyone finance that film?
I don't know.
Vince Vaughn notwithstanding.
I mean, maybe. I think it's not possible. I mean, who funded the Ayn Rand?
From the guys who brought you blah, blah, blah. It's fake brain tumor.
But this show relies on its members to fund this program. So become a member today at majority.fm. Pennies a day, ladies and gentlemen. If you buy crap from Amazon, you can buy it through our Amazon link at majorityreportkickback.com. Also, Just Coffee, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. 646-257-3920. We'll be back in just a moment.